Can people hear me? Yeah, you can hear me? Is that better? That's good? Okay, excellent. Now, before I start, for those who don't know me, my name is Michael, and I serve as one of the pastors here at Busselton. And I just want to apologize. I want to apologize because I picked up the presenter and I put it in my pocket, and then suddenly the slides went backwards and forwards. So now I'm thinking, should I come here or should I go to the cry room? And I'm not sure. But here I am. Okay, I'm here. Thanks for the reminder of the cry room. It was an option. Now before I start, I just want to let you know. Did you enjoy that update from the Willis Jones? Yeah. Well, the backers are coming soon as well. In fact, they're coming on the 11th and the 12th of July. All right. So look forward to that. And on the 11th, they're gonna have gonna invite people who want to have a chat with them at the shelter. So we'll send more details during the week. But just remember that they're coming on the 11th and 12th. It will be good for some of us to catch up with them on the 11th. Okay, let me pray. Let me pray before we start. Okay. Father God, we just thank you for this time. Teach us your word and your ways. Help me to just share your word with authenticity, Father. To be less so that you can become greater. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So there is a man who fell into a river. He's a good Reformed Baptist. So a neighbor was rowing a little boat, comes by and asks him, do you need help? He says, no, thank you. Treading water, you know, he says, the Lord will save me. And then another neighbor in a bigger boat, you know, comes by. This one has a motor, and gave him the same offer. The man declined again. And then the local RAC rescue helicopter comes by, and through a megaphone, offered to help him. He declined again. He declined, and unfortunately, he drowns. Okay. When he arrived in heaven, and stood before an angel, he was mad. He was furious. I had absolute faith in God, the man complained. Why did he let me drown? Well, the angel looks at him curiously and says, so God sent you two boats and a helicopter. What were you waiting for? A new church constitution? Some of you found that funny, some not. This morning, we're not going to be talking about the new church constitution. We will, however, start a new three-week series on community, how we are better together. And the title of my sermon today is, We Are Created for Community. Okay, we are created for community. Have you noticed how, despite being more connected digitally than ever before, many people still feel disconnected relationally? You know, in social media, we see photos of people's holidays, you know, the food they eat, the restaurants they go to, and the clothes they wear. But we don't know what their actual struggles are. We sort of see the highlights, but not the lowlights. We have hundreds or thousands of online friends and followers, but very few people can actually call during an emergency. The irony is that many of us are surrounded by people and still feel alone. Loneliness is becoming one of the biggest issues of our generation. And in church, it can look like this. We see a lot of people, but we don't know their names. We shake lots of hands, but we don't know their stories. And we sit shoulder to shoulder on Sunday, but live individual solo lives Monday to Saturday. Now, even secular people admit that this is not healthy. For example, mental health professionals warn about the effects of long-term isolation. secular researchers talk about the epidemic of loneliness. But long before this research, God already said, it is not good for man to be alone. At the very beginning, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. That's Genesis 2:18. And the book of Ecclesiastes echoes this truth in this broken world that we live in. Let me just read to you the verses just before our passage. The verse just before our passage. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling? He asked. And why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. So you have this person who was all alone. He works very hard and he's become very wealthy. But then he asks himself, why am I working so hard? What is it for? More importantly, who is it for? So his self-reflection reveals some deep emptiness. And in some ways, there's a bit of pride there. You know, I don't need anybody's help. There's a bit of selfishness there as well. And thus the author of Ecclesiastes concludes that this way of living, solitary work, creation of wealth, is meaningless. But there is a better way. There is a better way. It is better to be together. We are better together because we have, number one, better synergy. Ooh, we're talking about synergy in church. Okay, let's talk more about that. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Okay. The author begins by stating a simple principle, simple economic principle applied to relationships. When we work together, the collective result is greater than the sum of our individual efforts. Okay. And we have secular words for this. Two are better than one. That's from the Bible. Okay. Two heads are better than one. The sum is greater than the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. So we have this phrases that, if you think about it, was mentioned in the Bible a long time ago. So there was a story of a competition to find out the strongest horse. Now the horse who won second place was incredibly strong, pulling 3,000 kilos on its own. 3,000 kilos. Now, think about that as three Volkswagen Beetles. Okay, just so you can relate it to your mind. Okay. The horse that eventually won first place was a massive, muscular beast, you know, much like me. It stepped up to the sled and managed to pull an incredible 4,000 kilos all by itself. So that's four Volkswagen Beetles. Okay. Then the organizers of the competition wondered, how much can these two horses pull together? Simple math says 4,000 plus 3,500 kilos equals? Okay, I'm glad you know. Okay, 7,500 kilos, right? So the two horses were hitched together to pull a single load, but they didn't pull 7.5 tons of Volkswagen Beetles. They didn't even pull 8,000 kilos. Together, the two horses pulled 11,000 kilos. 11,000 kilos. So what do we learn here? Well, in God's kingdom, 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2. Okay? In God's kingdom, 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2. It equals something much greater. This is what the Bible means when it says, they have a good return for their labor. When we partner up in prayer, when we serve together in ministry, when we live life together in a connect group, especially during heavy seasons, right? God multiplies our strength. You can bear burdens together that would completely break you if you tried to carry them alone. We are better together because we have better synergy. Next one. We have better support. We have better support. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and no one to help them up. Okay, notice how the text says, or the text does not say, blessed is the person who never falls. It doesn't say that. This text assumes that we're all going to fall. Every single person in this room. And that's just fact. The question is this. Is there anyone close enough to notice and willing enough to stay in and help you up? And his word for the person who falls alone is pity. Pity anyone who falls and has no one there to help them. It's not admirable. It's pitiful. Now, there's something very humbling about being lifted up. It means admitting that we are not as strong as we hope. I remember 6 years ago when I was learning to walk again. Sometimes while you know, the physios would let me walk through the hospital corridor, I would fall down. I don't fall forwards, backwards, sideways. I fall straight down. Okay? And when that happens, the nurses would gather all around me and help me out. But they're not allowed to pick me up. They what they're going to do is get this huge lifting machine. They will lie me on the ground, lay me on the ground, and put this lifting machine, the sling underneath me, and hook up the lifting machine onto the lifter. And they would lift me up, move me along the hospital corridor in full view of everyone, and take me to my room. Okay. And you need to picture this, or maybe you don't have to picture this, but I'm wearing a gown. And my legs are up in the air. No more imagination, all right? No more imagination. Okay, so in that scenario, the thing that got hurt the most was not my legs, not my knees, not even my bottom. The thing that got hurt the most was my pride. It was very humbling to be assisted by others and be lifted in that lifter. But at the same time, I was grateful to the nurses who looked after me and literally picked me up. I'm grateful because when I was unable to look after myself, there was a community who looked after me. In the same way, we shouldn't be ashamed to seek and receive help from the people of God. The church is not a showroom for polished saints. Okay, let me repeat that. The church is not a showroom for polished saints. It is a hospital for sinners. And the Lord sees what others don't. And very often, He meets the needs of people through His people. We are better together because we have better support. All right, next one. So, better synergy, better support, better comfort. Okay, better comfort. If two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Okay, I mean, the passage we read is usually mentioned at weddings, but, you know, we'll go deeper than that. At first, you would think that this text may have something to do with, you know, something romantic, but far from it. During Old Testament times, travelers sharing a sleeping mat was survival. It wasn't about being romantic. It was about survival. Nights in the desert were genuinely cold enough to be dangerous. But here's the thing about this image. Now, I need your imagination for this. Community requires proximity. Okay? Community requires proximity. Sometimes we need more than a text message. Sometimes we need more then a thumbs up emoji. We need literal closeness. The kind of warmth being described here cannot travel across comfortable social distancing. Do you remember that? Yeah, social distancing. Because there are seasons in our lives when our spiritual life grows cold. You know, we get discouraged, we get disappointed. You know, there's prolonged suffering. And in those moments, the warmth of Christian community matters. A kind word, an encouraging prayer, a meal dropped at the door, a sister who encourages you with scripture, a brother who sits with you in silence. Sometimes we underestimate how much simple presence matters. Do you remember Job? Job's friends did their best work before they started talking. Okay. That's verse 13 there, but let me read from verse 12. When they saw him from a distance, when his friends saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud. They tore the robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. That's how you grieved back in the old days. Don't do that now. Okay. And then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. Some of us are uncomfortable with silence. But in community, not every moment requires a speech or a solution. Okay? Sometimes the most loving thing you can do is to say nothing. Just be present. Just be present. Okay? And listen. We are better together because we have better comfort. Okay. Number four. We are better together because we have better protection. Okay, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. Okay. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. So alone, we are more vulnerable. Together, we can defend ourselves. This certainly applies to the ordinary dangers of life, but for the church, there is more. I used to watch a series called, I think, Vikings. I think it's, you remember the series called Vikings? Okay. And as part of the Vikings' defensive strategy, they would create what's called a shield wall. A shield wall. And I found this fascinating, this shield wall. Because it's like when you're watching anime when you're watching anime, and before the main character does something, he would say what he's going to do. Like, I'm going to punch you in the face. Punch you in the face. So it's like this. You know, when you watch Vikings, they would call out, shield wall! And then the Viking army, would put all the shields together, side by side, and one on top of the other, which makes it quite impenetrable. You cannot create a shield wall with one shield. Okay, that wouldn't be a wall. That would be a post, a shield post. That's not what we need. We need a shield wall. In the same way, we need a shield wall that the church community provides. Because we do not merely wrestle with flesh and blood. We face temptation, we face accusation, we face discouragement, false teaching, and the schemes of the evil one. Lone Ranger Christianity is not brave nor safe. Sheep do not become safer when they wander from the flock. They become lunch. Yeah. But a unified community provides greater protection. We are better together because we have better protection. The one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. All right. And lastly, the best. We are better together because we have the best companion. Here comes the striking conclusion here. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. At the simplest level, this statement intensifies the point. If two are strong, well, three are even stronger. Community increases strength and protection. But our community is quite unique. Our community is quite unique because the most important strand in our relationship as a church community is Jesus. The church is not strong because it is well organized or because we have a new constitution coming up soon. It is strong because Christ is present with his people. He is our Lord, our Savior, our leader, and we have the best companion in Jesus. But I just want to recognize that sometimes our greatest personal isolation is not horizontal but vertical. Sometimes our greatest personal isolation is not horizontal but vertical. Because of our sinful nature, we are alienated from God. Our sin separates us from a holy God. Our pride isolates us from God. Our guilt tries to hide us from God. Because of our sin, our trajectory is eternal death. That's the bad news. Okay, that's the bad news. The good news is this. Jesus Christ, in his grace, came to save us from sin and death. He died for our sins at the cross, rose again in triumph, and by his Spirit unites us not only to himself, but together. His Spirit unites us not only to himself, but also to one another. We have a community because we share a Savior. And together, we share the best companion. So we need to think of Christ in relation to this passage. Number one, he is the best companion who gives a good return for our labor. You know, if 1 + 1 is greater than 2, then imagine the implication of 1 + God. He's the best companion who lifts us up. He doesn't avoid us when we collapse under sin and sorrow. He lifts us up. He's the best companion who comforts us. He's the one who warms the cold heart by simply being present. And he's always present with us because he's inside us. He's the best companion who protects us. He is the defender of his church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. And when we stay in close community to him, we as a community, as a church community, we become unbreakable. In summary, okay, as a church, we are better together because we have better synergy, we have better support, we have better comfort, we have better defense, and we also have the best companion. Amen? All right. Now, how do we make this practical? How do we make this practical? In our church community, we can be together but not together. Think about that. In our church community, we can be together but not together. We can be together in proximity, but our hearts are not together. So let me give you some practical steps so we can be better together, so we can take steps in becoming better together. All right. This is the first one. Okay. Stop resisting the gift of community. Stop resisting the gift of community. Some of us need to repent, not of big, of obvious sins, but of proud isolation. Of proud isolation. We need to repent of thoughts like, I don't need help. Thank you, but I don't need help. Or, thank you, but I'll handle my struggles privately. You know, I don't need to talk to anyone about it. Or here's a common one. I'll attend, but I won't belong. I'll come. I'll take all the privileges, but no responsibility. We need to repent of those things. And I encourage you to make a decision to stop resisting the gift of community and make a decision to be part of a community. It starts with the mind. It starts with the will. It starts with making a decision. Allow yourself to be vulnerable. it's going to be very difficult to resist something that you are created for, that we are created for. So stop resisting the gift of community. Number one. Number two, seek to know the people around you. Do you know the people around you? Do you know their names? There's a well-known American writer. His name is Dale Carnegie, and he wrote a book called How to Make Friends and Influence People, okay. which is quite a good book. And he once said that a person's name is to that person the sweetest and the most important sound in any language. Now, I found this to be true, especially when I became a migrant. When you go into a place where you don't know anyone, and someone calls out your name, okay, and then you turn around, and then you realize you're not the person being called out, it's somebody else. So that's embarrassing. But, you know, it's still, someone knows me around here. You know, it warms the heart. Romans 15:7 says, it is in the ESV, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Well, this is my point. How can we be a welcoming community if we don't seek people out, if we don't seek people's names out? How can we be a community if we don't even know each other's names? Okay. So before you leave today and for the next couple of weeks, I've got a challenge for you. I encourage you to intentionally welcome people by introducing yourself to someone you don't know here at church. Just say, "Hi, my name is Michael. Welcome to church. What's yours?" Well, don't say, "My name is Michael." Say your name. You know. And just let that conversation, you know, progress. Okay, so let me start. Hello, my name is Michael. Welcome. What's your name? Hi. Okay. And just see how that develops. So, stop resisting the gift of community and seek to know the people around you. Some of you are thinking, I already know the people around me, so this is useless for me. Well, my recommendation to you is this: sit in another pew. Okay, sit in another pew, and you will find it's like, whoa, this is like a new church. You know, I don't know the people around me, but I encourage you to give it a go. Stop resisting the gift of community, seek to know the people around you, and start a connect group. Here we go, start a connect group. Now, as a church, we have a small problem. Our connect groups are oversubscribed. We need more groups. But to have more groups, we need more people who would step up and say, I want to start one. Okay. Why connect groups? Why am I encouraging you to start a connect group? You will find that big worship services like this and smaller groups actually complement each other. It's actually how they did it during the New Testament times, and they grew during that period. Check this out. Day after day, in the temple courts, from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah, day after day. So every day we should meet. No, that's going to be very hard, okay? But in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. There is something special about being in a connect group. For example, you can have a deeper discussion about the Word because you can ask questions, right? During a service, you can't ask questions. You can't have a conversation with the crowd. That would be quite disruptive. But in connect group, you can. Okay. Connect groups, number two, connect groups being smaller naturally creates intimacy. And because it's smaller, it's easier to remember the names of people. There's less names to remember. And number three, it also facilitates better care. Our church is growing. Church is growing, and that's a good thing. But pastors can't be the sole provider of pastoral care. Connect groups are the plan A for pastoral care in our church. And we're not talking about the leader of the group, you know, caring for everybody else. That's not what we're talking about. What I'm talking about is the members of the group caring for other members of the group. Everyone, mutual care. Okay, I'll stop there. But if you're keen to facilitate a group, if God is nudging you to start a group, then, you know, click on this, scan this QR code, and or use that tiny URL there, or take a photo. Now, we don't normally ask people to take out their phones during church, but now you can. Just take a photo of that, or scan that QR code. And my commitment to you is this. If you do start a connect group, I'll be walking alongside you. I'll be your companion, okay, to help you, because, you know, two are better than one, yeah? Okay. In summary, stop resisting the gift of community. Seek to know the people around you. Start a connect group. And if there's one summary statement I would like for you to remember today, other than our passage, it's this. We are better together because God created us for community. We are better together because God created us for community. Okay, I'll just leave that there for now. Let me tell you a story, or let me give you some information. Harvard University ran a study on health and happiness. They tracked hundreds of people over 85 years to find out what are the predictors of health and happiness. And so they did that. And they were expecting the usual suspects, to be predictors of health and happiness. Wealth, fitness, IQ, healthy diet, you know, do you eat avocados or not, and the like. Now, what they actually found out blew their expectations away. The single predictor of physical health and emotional well-being in old age, was the quality of close relationships. Okay. This study was published in 2023, so it's quite recent. So, the single greatest predictor of physical health and emotional well-being in old age was the quality of close relationships, not the number of relationships, but how close, how real, how known people felt. And this is fact. The lonely ones died earlier. But the genuinely connected ones, they thrived. So the leader of the study, this is a secular study, right? Summarized it this way. Good relationships keep us happier and healthier. Period. That's how he summarized it. Good relationships keep us happier and healthier. And so I hear this and I read this and I'm thinking, you know how this looks to me? It looks to me that secular research is simply catching up with what the Bible says years and years ago. Okay? It's simply agreeing with what God has told us in Genesis and in Ecclesiastes. So I want you to imagine this. Imagine if Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12 was not just a passage we like, okay? It's not just a passage we like, but a culture we lived. Imagine a community where no one is alone. Imagine a community where no one falls alone, no one freezes alone, no one fights alone, and where we journey with the best companion, and His name, say it with me, is Jesus. Okay, what's his name? Jesus. In a lonely and broken world like this, that community will shine. Okay. We simply are better together because we are created for community. I'm just going to ask the band to come up. So let me pray to close this session. Father God, we just we thank you for your word. Help us to be a community where no one is alone. No one fights alone. No one works alone. No one freezes alone. Everyone gets lifted up. And we get to travel with the best companion, that is you. Help us to be the community that you want us to be. In all these things, we pray in your most precious name. Amen.